The Lord be with you.
Yes,
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Lord,
be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And then Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things to eat. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And he has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On today's Feast of the Assumption, we hear in the first reading from the book of Revelation. We don't get to hear too often from the book of Revelation at Sunday Mass, and it is a book that it's much talked about, dare I say, even these days. So let's talk a little bit about the book of Revelation. There are many these days who believe that it is meant to predict future occurrences when the end of the world will come. That is not the traditional Catholic belief. There are many ways to interpret Scripture, and there are different interpretations, and people debate and research what is the most likely and pray about them. And so I'm not claiming that this is the only way you can look at the book of Revelation, but the traditional Catholic belief about the book of Revelation is that there is nothing being revealed in the book of Revelation that isn't also revealed in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. And there's no attempt to predict the future of history in the book of Revelation, but there is an attempt to outline the overall spiritual reality in which all history takes place, especially the history at that time. And know that that time was in the early church under the Roman Empire, the Emperor Nero, when the Christianity was illegal, Christians had begun to be martyred, and there was a great need to encourage one another to have faith despite great persecution, great trials. But since it was harmful to your health to talk openly about Christianity, the book is written in a language that the Roman government and officials and pagans would not understand, but those who are steeped in the Jewish history, apocalyptic literature and imagery and symbology of previous scripture and Jewish works outside of Scripture would recognize what the book is saying. And basically what the book is saying, and we hear the heart of the book, chapter 12, that's already again revealed in the Gospels, is that God created, and throughout Scripture, that God created the world to be a better place, the Garden of Eden. And through sin and the tempter, the devil, the dragon who swipes with his tail a third of the stars from the skies, the fallen angels have created and seek to create the kingdom of darkness. God comes into this world to bring the kingdom of God back the way it was intended, the kingdom of light. This Savior, Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is born of a woman, Mary. She is the new Israel, the church, the 12 stars. And her child is taken up into heaven through his death and resurrection, defeats evil, and will come again at the end of time to establish in power the fullness of that kingdom, where evil will be banished totally in hell and all the followers, and the children of the righteous will have everlasting and eternal life, bodily resurrection, a new heaven, and a new earth. This is the spiritual reality that's revealed in the Gospels. This is the spiritual drama that is outlined in the book of Revelation using symbolic language. But it's also applied at the time in which those early Christians lived. So the book, again, being written to a persecuted church, is meant to bring hope and to encourage them. And it is saying that the Antichrist at the time was Nero, the emperor of the Roman Empire, who was persecuting Christians. The Antichrist is anyone who opposes Christ, and throughout different times and histories, there's different people you could call the Antichrist. But in this time, the book, the number of the Antichrist, or the beast, is 666. That's a cryptagon, where if you take the letters of the Hebrew alphabet and give each one a numeric value based on its place in the alphabet, you write out the name Nero in Hebrew, and the numbers add up to 666. That theory is the main Catholic theory. That's what it's talking about. It's also validated by secondary evidence. In some manuscripts, the number is not 666, but 616. And if you write Nero in Latin and do the same arithmetic, you get 616. So it's a pretty likely theory. Also, the mark of the beast, those who trade and sell with their right hand and are marked on the forehead, is probably the coin with Nero's image on it. And so you see that by this tradition, Revelation is not trying to predict the future of history, but trying to interpret all history in light of the spiritual reality in which we all live. And it's meant to say that even though things can get really tough, and it's tough to live as a Christian in this world, the victory is already won in Christ. And he will come back at the end of time to establish the fullness of this victory. And so have faith, have hope, continue to love. Don't respond to violence with violence. Don't respond to sin with sin, but have faith and be true to the kingdom of light, and we will persevere. And if you look at the history of the Roman Empire, it was in the year 312 when Christianity, through nonviolence, did persevere and overcome and convert the Roman Empire. Today's feast, the Assumption, is similar. This feast was not officially promulgated as dogma until 1950 by Pope Pius XII, that Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. It was always the belief of the church, and it goes back to the earliest days of the church, but it was officially made and promulgated in 1950, just after World War II, when the world especially Europe, where Italy was and the Pope was devastated by the destruction of so great a war. And the human family needed hope. And so the doctrine of the Assumption of Mary being assumed body and soul into spirit, into heaven, is to remind us of our destiny. She is no different than us. She's simply the first, the new Eve, the way we were originally meant to be, that death had no power over us, but and the way we will be again if we follow Christ. And not only a new body, right? We are not in spirits, we're in flesh spirits. Heaven is not just our souls, it's our resurrected bodies and souls still in a new heaven and a new earth. And so everything in this world has dignity, and it's part of God's plan, and in the end will be restored to its original dignity. Isn't that a powerful message in the midst of destruction and despair? That God will still prevail, so have hope. And so we go from the early church persecuted to World War II. What's the message for today? I don't know if you're anything. I look at the news, and sometimes I feel tempted to despair as much, perhaps, as those difficult times. We are in difficult times with the pandemic, with the violence, with the division, with the natural disasters. Recently, Haiti, the earthquake, Afghanistan now, the pandemic. It's easy to look at the news and start to despair. But the message today is the same as for those early Christians, same for those during World War II, that all history is played out in the context of the spiritual reality that Christ has triumphed and will come again to establish the fullness of the kingdom. Our lives do have meaning. It is important to keep the perspective. This is not preaching, and it might get a little long, but I confess that over the last several months, I've watched less and less of the news because it so brings me down. Now, it's not good to live like an ostrich and hide from reality. So I'm not claiming that's a virtue. But I do think that it's important that if we're going to watch a lot of the news, we need to pray a lot, because we can't interpret the world in light of any other thing but our faith. And so, as we look about, let us enlighten and see the world through our faith and the gospel and the revelation. And that's what the book of Revelation is reminding that persecuted church. That's what the Feast of the Assumption is meant to remind us. Look at everything through the eyes of faith so that we won't despair, that we will have hope and faith in the victory of Christ so that we may love.